We have now for several Lord's days turned to the words of the third Psalm for our comfort and edification. I trust that the Lord has blessed these words to your heart. In closing our thoughts on the Psalm, I want to direct your attention to the words of the fourth verse. We may truly say the words of the fourth verse are the turning point of the feelings of David's soul. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. The words in verse 3, as far as the pattern in the psalm is concerned, are the turning point, but I think we may trace David's victory in spirit back to that prior moment when he called upon the Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Selah. The middle Selah of the three in the psalm points us to the throne of grace. Shows that David won the victory by calling upon the Lord in prayer. And David's answer is seen to come out of the holy hill of the Lord. Quite frequently in the scriptures, the holy hill of the Lord is mentioned. 6 times in the Psalms, the holy hill of the Lord is mentioned. If we turn to the book of Isaiah for a moment, making the only reference to the holy hill of the Lord outside the book of the Psalms, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. This is the chapter that describes the coming reign of Christ on the earth. Our Lord Jesus is shown to belong to the house of David. Verse 1 of Isaiah 11 describes Him as a rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch that shall grow out of His roots. So the Messiah, the promised Redeemer, shall descend from the house of David. He belongs then to the tribe of Judah. To Judah pertains the scepter. In the coming day, when righteousness shall reign and dwell in this earth, verse 6 shows us how all of creation shall be blessed by the Lord, the wolf dwelling with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the calf with the young lion, how the little child shall lead them. And verse 9 reads, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And here the words are the same as those in the psalm, in my holy hill. The holy mount of the Lord is the sanctuary of the Lord. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The holy hill of the Lord is seen here as a place of sanctuary, where the Lord is in the fullness of His power, so that there is peace abiding. There is no possible evil that can harass or destroy. The sanctuary of the Lord is the place of peace for the child of God. Now in the Psalms, the words, the holy hill of the Lord, occur quite frequently. In Psalm 2, we have them coming up for the first time. And let us look at the words in the second psalm. In verse 6, despite the wrath of the nations, despite the revolt of wicked men on the face of this earth, God's kingdom is secure. The Lord is still upon the throne. For verse 6 reads, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The holy hill of God is the sanctuary of the Lord. It's the place, you'll notice here, where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Our Lord Jesus Himself is the King who's spoken of in this Messianic Psalm. And He is there upon His throne. Now the holy hill of the Lord, historically, was that hill in Jerusalem where the temple of the Lord was placed. The mount itself is known as Mount Moriah. On one of the peaks of that great mountain, Abraham offered up Isaac. In later days, David caught the vision for building the house of the Lord while he stood upon Mount Moriah. And in a day when great affliction troubled the land, David built an altar on Mount Moriah, on that place that was to be marked out especially in all the land of promise as the holy hill of the Lord. God's sanctuary among men. God's dwelling place. The holy hill of God then was the place of sacrifice. It was the place of worship. It was the dwelling place of the Lord. And this second psalm, being a messianic psalm, pictures the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, then, is the one referred to in the sixth verse. The Lord Jesus is spoken of here as the King. He's the King of glory. He's found on the holy hill of Zion. He's described too as my King. Our Savior, therefore, is heaven's King. He's the divinely anointed King, of whom David is a mere type and shadow. David himself, being anointed of God, anointed to be king, standing here in the hill of Moriah, building an altar, making there a sacrifice unto the Lord, sees Christ, the coming Redeemer, as heaven's King. David wrote many of these psalms, and I believe he wrote the second psalm, and David foresaw the coming Christ. And when he wrote there about the Mount Moriah and wrote about the sanctuary of the Lord, he saw Christ pictured in all those sacrifices and offerings. We were reading today in Hebrews chapter 10 how all the sacrifices offered were types and symbols of He who was called the Lamb of God. And at the holy hill of the Lord, we find the Savior. The psalmist, when he spoke of the sanctuary of the Lord then, spoke of the place where the Lord Jesus is. Notice that the second psalm is written against the background of the revolt of the nations. This is a psalm that depicts the lawlessness, the apostasy of today. The words of verse 3 clearly show the direction in which the apostasy is going. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The spirit of apostasy is declared in these words. The direction in which the apostasy today is going is the total abandonment of God. The casting aside of His Word. The trampling underfoot of His law. And this nation, along with other nations of the world, has a part in tearing asunder and trampling underfoot the law of God. Parliament has placed its stamp of approval upon a law which permits the dastardly practice that brought the fire of God down from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's standards have not changed today in any one way. The law of God is likewise cast aside and trampled underfoot with regard to God's day. And people believe that they now can do just what they choose on the day of the Lord. Let us break their bonds asunder and cast off their cords from us. It is as if this earth has grown weary of God. As if mankind has grown weary of God and he wants to discard God's holy word and God's day and forget all about God himself. That's apostasy. But God says in verse 6, Yet, in spite of this, in spite of man's rebellion, in spite of the revolt among the nations of the earth, even though the world will say, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not respect his name. We will not have his law. We will not have his day. We will not have him to reign over us. Yet in spite of this, God says, I have placed my king on my holy hill in Zion. The Lord is still on the throne. This psalm certainly spells out that message with great force and power. The Lord is still on the throne. Because the psalm is about the apostasy of the day, it's a psalm for the end times. It's a prophetic psalm as well as a messianic psalm. Being a prophetic psalm, it foretells the end time apostasy. It pictures the development, the culmination of apostasy in history. And it surely tells us of the hour prior to the coming again of Christ the Redeemer. The spirit of anarchy is already in society. And all abroad, across the face of the earth, that spirit of anarchy is seen. There is revolt and unrest among the peoples of the earth. And it is an unhealthy thing, for it is a revolt against the Lord Himself. But the Lord is still on the throne. And even though, sadly, ungodliness has left its mark on this very town where many of us live, the Lord is still on the throne. And the child of God does well to recognize the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ is still king over all, even though the devil seeks to usurp authority for a season. Now, this is the first reference to the holy hill of the Lord in the book of Psalms. And for that reason, we would direct your attention particularly to it. Psalm 2, verse 6. And let us recognize that the holy hill of the Lord is the hill of His holiness. The hill where God especially is present. And let us recognize that the Savior is found there. He's declared heaven's King. Now on that holy hill, on its northernmost summit, was the place called Golgotha. This Mount Moriah ran, and still does, run from north to south in the city of Jerusalem. On its southernmost peak stands the temple platform. And on top of that temple platform, a Mohammedan mosque remains to this day. But in earlier times, the temple of the Lord stood in that southernmost platform. It was the place of God's sanctuary. Originally, the site for Solomon's temple. The place where the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, manifested itself. That's on the southernmost tip of the Mount Moriah. On the northernmost tip of that same mountain, but outside the city wall, and nowadays isolated from the rest of the city, and it was in the time of the Lord isolated from the rest of the city, was this little eminence in the shape of a skull. It's still a part of Moriah. And I believe, it's only my personal opinion, but I believe that on that summit, the hill called Golgotha, Abraham built his altar and offered up Isaac his son, foreshadowing that coming day and time when God's dear Son, the only beloved of the Father, would truly lay down His life for us. And on the northernmost tip of that same mountain, Mount Moriah, our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed on a cruel cross. He shed His precious blood there to make a sacrifice for sin. And it's part of the holy hill of the Lord. Because the blood, not only the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the altar was spilled on that mount, but there was nobler blood also sprinkled on that mount. The blood of the Lamb of God. The blood of God's dear Son. Aye, the blood of heaven's King is spilled upon that mount. No wonder God speaks of it and says, "This is my holy hill." It must be especially holy in the sight of the Lord, because the blood of God's dear Son stained that hill. The blood of our redemption left a crimson patch upon its summit. The hill of Golgotha is part of the holy hill of the Lord. And notice in Psalm 2, verse 6, it is the place where the Lord is. Where the Lord Jesus is. And where can we find the Lord Jesus today? But at the hill of the cross. We have been singing in this service of the precious blood of Calvary, of the atoning death, our Savior Himself accomplished on that cross on the hill of Golgotha. That holy hill of the Lord is the place where He suffered for us. It's the place where the Savior Himself is, Heaven's King. When you draw near to Calvary today, believer, when you claim the hill of the cross, remember that it is the holy hill of the Lord, made holy because Jesus' blood stained that hill. Because the blood of God's dear Son crimsoned that hill. That's the place where Jesus is. Crucified, dead, buried, rose again, where He is today, Heaven's King. Look at the second instance in the book of the Psalms. That brings us to the psalm we have been studying, Psalm 3 and verse 4. And how vividly these words take on a new aspect to us. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. I may say today, every believer here, every sinner saved by redeeming grace, saved by the precious blood, can remember the first time, in very truth, he called on the name of the Lord. When you came to Christ as a poor, guilty, lost, hell-deserving, outcast sinner, you came to the Lord at the foot of the cross. You climbed the hill of Calvary. You drew near to God by precious blood. You called on the Lord with your voice, didn't you? You asked the Lord to save you, to take you in, and He heard you. From whence? He heard you out of His holy hill. He heard you from the place of the cross. He heard you from the place of the shed blood. And from that moment on, in your lifetime, as you call on the Lord every day, the Lord hears you from the hill of the cross. The only ground in which you can make an approach to God is redemption ground. We were saying this in the opening moments of the service. The only ground in which I may stand as I pray is Calvary ground. He heard me out of His holy hill. Do you know that the child of God must see to it that he prays always on redemption ground? We do well in the public gatherings for worship to sing about the blood of the Lamb. We should never have a service without mentioning the blood of Christ in some way. We have many evangelical services today that do take place that no longer emphasize the blood of the Lamb. Not so long ago, as we mentioned last Monday evening, a certain periodical of an evangelical church in this country had an article which asked the question, should we now forget about terms like the blood of the Lamb and being washed in the blood. Should we update the language of Christianity? Now, there may be some kind of defense made in that the writer put it as a question. But there shouldn't be any need to put such questions. And maybe it would be a good thing if we were to preach upon the article that was published in that magazine a little while ago, somewhere about Easter of this year. Do we need to update the language of Christianity? Do we need to make any change in expressions like being washed in the blood? No, we don't. The devil wants to eradicate all mention of the blood of Christ from this gospel. And there is no way the child of God can pray. You cannot come unto God in earnest supplication without the blood. We draw near today to the holiest of all. We were reading of that in Hebrews 10, the holy hell of the Lord, the sanctuary of God. We can only make bold to draw near unto God by the blood of Jesus. And if we remove the blood from the Bible, if we remove the blood from the gospel, we remove the very heart from the gospel. We have no gospel at all. No change can be made to this. God hears prayer from His holy hill, from the hill of the cross. Listen, sinner, today out of Christ, if you seek to be reconciled to God, draw near to God on Calvary ground. Climb the hill of the cross, as it were. Look to that place where Jesus shed His precious blood. And in the atoning blood of the Lamb is the means for your peace to be found. The blood of Christ, the purchase price of our redemption. The holy hill of the Lord is the place. Notice it. Psalm 3, verse 4. The holy hill of the Lord is the place where God answers prayer. Nowhere else. You may remember reading in the book of Kings, sometimes in Chronicles, of high places in the land. You would read of a king who accomplished a great deal of good, and then the scripture would read, but the high places were not taken away. Nothing more is added most of the time. That's all you read. But the high places were not taken away. What does that mean? It means that on every other mountain peak around about Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is built on a mountain, and there are mountains all around Jerusalem. And Mount Moriah is the principal mountain on which Jerusalem stands, the hill of the Lord. The same hill, as we have said, where the sanctuary of the Lord stood, as built by Solomon. The same hill, referring now to its northernmost summit, where our Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt and shed the blood of our redemption. And around about that hill, other altars were built, on the hilltops surrounding Jerusalem. And these were the high places. And many chose to go there to worship, instead of worshiping at the appointed place of the Lord. And God is saying there, even though the king spoken of accomplished a great deal of good, when the high places were not taken away, he was, in effect, permitting people to worship, even if they thought they were worshiping the Lord. He was permitting people to worship on some other ground. Not on redemption ground. But on a place of their own choosing. In a manner pleasing to themselves, they worshipped. These were the high places. They resembled the hill of the Lord, but they were mere substitutes. I want to say today, we can't substitute anything for the blood of the Lamb. There is no other way of access to God's presence. And nowadays, in these times of apostasy, there are high places. There are other places of worship. There are other pathways of prayer. People are trying to find the Lord in other ways. They are like the high places of old. But God hears prayer from His holy hill, from the place where the blood has been shed, the place where Jesus is. That's the place where prayer is answered. Look again at another reference in the Psalms. Psalm 15 and verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And remember, the temple of the tabernacle accomplished the same end. They represent the dwelling place of the Lord among men. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And this psalm surely points to the need for preparation. If we're going to climb the hill of the Lord, if we're going to dwell in God's presence, we must prepare ourselves to enter into His presence. And the psalm refers to the need for an upright life. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can't take time now to dwell on the points in the psalm. But you can notice that verse 2, right through to verse 5, answers the question. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. And it's necessary, if you will draw nigh to God and worship at His holy hill, it's necessary for you to walk uprightly. The walk must be pleasing to God. If you climb the hill of Calvary. There is the third reference in the Psalms, then to the holy hill of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 43. And this is a marvelous verse. Psalm 43 and verse 3. The next reference to the holy hill of the Lord. How important these words are to the Christian. We have compared the holy hill in the Psalms to the hill of the cross, to the place where Jesus died. And in verse 3 of Psalm 43, we read the following words, O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. And the altar is the place of the shed blood. At the holy hill of the Lord. Send out thy light and thy truth. Now, no man can find his way to the presence of the Lord without the light of heaven. And the light of heaven, surely, is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. The truth refers to the Scriptures. And the verse 3 of Psalm 43 instructs the child of God so that he may know that by the Spirit of God, who casts His light upon the page of God's truth, the page of God's holy word, he can be guided to the hill of the cross. How do you find the Lord? How do you find the hill of Calvary? By means of the open page of the Word of God. By taking the Word of God into your hands. The Word of God shines along the way that leads you to the cross. The Word of God points you the way to heaven. The Word of God directs the steps of your feet. And so the psalmist prayed, send out thy light, send forth thy spirit and thy word, and let them lead me, let them bring me into thy holy hill. The word of God, listen this carefully, the word of God leads you to Christ and Him crucified. The word of God points you to the place of the shed blood, that altar where sin has been put away. Psalm 43 and verse 3. The next reference, Psalm 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. In the English we have the word mountain. But the word is the same, exactly the same as is elsewhere rendered hill. God's holy hill then is referred to in the verse 1 of the psalm. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. It's rendered differently this time to Nick, the words read with more dignity, more of the majesty of the Lord. We could, with entitlement, read the words into the verse, "My holy hill." In the holy hill of the Lord. But the way it's phrased here carries the dignity of heaven's King with it. In the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north. And especially there on the north, as we have said. The northernmost part of that mount is the place where the work of our redemption was completed. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. And there in the sides of the north of that mount, on God's holy hill, is the place where the blood of God's dear Son was shed. And there God is known for a refuge. Could it be clearer? The holy hill where the King of Heaven is, where God answers prayer, where we may dwell and abide as we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. The last reference, Psalm 99 and verse 9. And fittingly, it ends with worship. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. It ends on the note of praise and triumph. The holy hill of the Lord is the place where we're called to worship. Worship at His holy hill. There's no better place for the Christian to worship than at the foot of the cross, where Christ alone reigns as King. Psalm 99, verse 9. Exalt the Lord at the place of the cross. Exalt the Lord, the verse says, at His holy hill. And child of God, I would direct you today to climb the hill of the cross. Reflect upon the purchase price of your redemption. Contemplate again the atoning death that our Lord Jesus accomplished on that holy hill of Golgotha. Exalt the Lord there. That's the Christian's business. That's the preacher's business. It is this preacher's business to exalt the Lord at the place called Calvary. There's no place where we would rather worship. There at the foot of the cross, at the place of the shed blood, the atoning blood, the finished work, we can worship the Lord on redemption ground. Let's bow in prayer. And as we bow in God's presence, are you a stranger to the hill of the Lord? I remember well the first time I went to the land of Israel. Many places to see and to visit. And most of all, I desired to get to the hill called Calvary. Not everyone can climb that hill today, literally, because it is made into a Muslim holy place, and that quite deliberately. I believe it is the intention to keep God's people from climbing that hill. But because we traveled in a group of three, or maybe four, we were able to climb that hill undetected. And had a little service there, just the few of us. And one of the brethren, an elder in our money-slaying congregation, as he prayed that day, he repeated words which I can still remember. He was meditating on the fact that although physically we had climbed the hill, it wasn't the first time we had been to Calvary. He remembered the time when we came, first of all, as a sinner to Jesus. And they said, "Lord, we're only coming again here today. We've climbed the hill of the cross in the best possible way. We've climbed the hill of sinners looking to Jesus. We've climbed the hill long years ago, not here at this spot. But we climbed the hill in spirit. And by the light of Holy Scripture, we've climbed this hill. We've looked to Christ and been saved. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of doing in the body that which we have done in the spirit many years ago. We're no strangers here. We've been to Calvary before. You know what he meant. Let the child of God know what it is to climb the hill of the cross often. Climb the hill of the cross every day, believer. Recognize that when the Scripture mentions God's holy hill so often, there's a reason why God mentions the holy hill of Zion, the place where our Lord Jesus suffered for sin, where he accomplished the work of our redemption forever. Thank God for the precious blood. Thank God for the place where our Savior purchased the price of our salvation. And as we bow now in prayer to close, if you're a Christian, will you say, Lord, thank you for suffering for me. Let me climb the hill of Calvary this day. If you're not a Christian, seek to meet the Lord there at the foot of the cross. Lord, hear prayer today. Bless thy holy word to our hearts. Speak to us, we beseech thee. O Lord, abide with us this day. Make thy name known. Make thy word precious. May we in very truth climb the hill of Calvary. May we realize, having climbed that hill, the work is done. The price is paid. The victory is accomplished. Our Lord Jesus has triumphed over death, has trodden death down beneath his feet, and is now alive forevermore, and is seated at the right hand of God on high. O Lord, bring us through to victory ground this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.